Hello and welcome to the Henrietta Christian Fellowship Podcast. The notes for the sermons featured here can be found at our website, henriettacf.org. Also, on Android or iOS mobile devices, you can find them on the YouVersion app. Just click on Search for Live Events and enter our zip code 14543. Without further ado, here's this week's sermon.
Said, "How can this be since I'm a virgin?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God." You know, those times when, you know, I remember when our first child was born, you know, every time she made a goo, a gua, or a movement, you know, we quickly ran over and started taking pictures. Now, mind you, we didn't have any money to get the pictures developed, so we ended up with, like, bags full of film that had not been developed, right? You know, then the second child comes along, and he's the one who insists that we have no pictures of him. We have pictures. We just couldn't afford to develop them, and they have since faded from the film that we used to take them. By the time the third one came along, he was definitely having to do a dance to get our attention, and by the time the third one came along, you would hear this sound, all right? And anyways, you hear, "Ma," nothing happens. "Ma," nothing happens. "Ma," nothing happens. He'd come over, grab her by the cheeks, turn her face and say, "Ma," okay? In the presence of four children, all right, we had a hard time, you know, that child was having a hard time getting attention, all right? And, you know, I look at this and I think, look what God does here, all right? This visitation. You know, and that if we can, and see, the problem wasn't that my wife was getting, you know, deaf with age or anything like that. It's just all the din, all the excitement, all the activity around her was enough to distract her to the place where fourth child is having to kind of yell to get attention. You know, there's times when God kind of has to yell to get our attention. You know, there's times when if God was trying to show us something, if he wanted to speak an encouraging word to us, maybe a preparatory word that tells us, you know, about something difficult that we're facing, or maybe a admonishment to turn from something that's going the wrong way, or, you know, if God was trying to get our attention, you know, and he's yelling and we still aren't hearing, you know, what do we need, you know? And what we need, I think, is a silent night, you know, is a quiet time, you know, and, yeah, I've learned to use, you know, those times where, you know, it's, you know, disturbances in life and different things like that. You find yourself awake for an hour or two sometimes in the middle of the night. And David learned to use those times. King David, he talks about, you know, meditating on his bed in the night. And he talks about singing songs to the Lord in the night. And I thought the guy's got insomnia. And then as I'm getting older, I'm realizing, no, he's just living life as it is. And, you know, and he's hitting those times where he's awake. And so what are you going to do at that time? You could fuss and worry. You know, you could ruminate on your worst fears and pains. But David made a choice, and I think maybe Mary, maybe read the Psalms, huh? Okay, because here's the middle of the night, and she's quiet. Angel comes in, and she's shocked by it, but she's listening. And so, you know, these silent nights, you know, do they become holy nights? You know, do they become opportunities for God to visit us? And, you know, that sometimes that may be the only quiet time in our day, and if we allow the electronics in, we might not even have that. You know, I mean, it's, you know, that is actually a health concern that, you know, people are, you know, just, you know, on those devices just way all through the night and everything. Now they have programs you can turn down the lights so you're not getting, I'm like, shut it off, you know, because there needs to be a time, you know, a quiet time when we can hear God, you know, where those things that God might be trying to tell us, you know, are going to be, things that we can hear, because God loves you, and the conversations he'd like to have with you are good ones. The conversations he has with you are ones to make your life better. And so the next silent night becomes a holy night is the night the angel comes to Joseph. I was talking with Lori, kind of texting back and forth. She'd read the notes before she got to service, and she's kind of talking back and forth about this. And, you know, Joseph is a good guy. All right, he's just, you know, shocked to find out, you know, what's going on here. And he's responding, not in just an average, normal way. He's actually responding in a really wonderful and righteous and godly way, very mercifully. He says, I'll put her away quietly. All right, because, see, people say, well, she was engaged. I say, well, no, she's betrothed. That's different. To get out of betrothal, you had to have a divorce. All right? It was not just like, you know, on and off. It was just, you know, it was a commitment that was made, and there they were. And so Joseph says, now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She'll bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now, I'm going for the idea that that a good Jewish boy understood that they were waiting for a Messiah. Silent night, holy night, right? Okay, so middle of the night, and it's quiet, and an angel in a dream, you know, comes and tells you something that is very apparent to you as a good Jewish boy, that your betrothed wife here is going to give birth to the Messiah. He knows this, all right? But there was a silent night that became a holy night. And, you know, just those times, you know, that God needs to have time when he can get our attention. You know, sometimes when I'm, you know, trying to help people to build better relationships, I say, you need quiet time. You need time when it's just the two of you. You know, and God needs that time with us. We need that time with God, all right? There's purposes that God has for your life that if you don't get quiet with him, you might miss. You know, I was over at, this is not me bragging, not my generosity, it's merely me setting up a story, okay? So we did all the ironing yesterday, and so I gave away Sue's ironing board because the church didn't have one, so I gave the church her ironing board, which means I then had to go out in search of a better ironing board, right? Okay, because you can't bring home something worse, got to be better, right? Okay, so I got to go out and, you'd be surprised how hard it is to find a better ironing board in town. They're mostly cheap junk, you know, so it's like, so I'm looking for a better one. And by the way, you should go over Bed Bath & Beyond, and, you know, so anyway, so that's where I ended up. But in the running through, somebody that I have known for a long, 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 long time, in fact, I did their wedding many, many years ago, asked me like this. I saw him, he returned to say hello, and he was gone. And I Facebook messaged him, because we can do those things today, and said, hey, just missed you at Target, I think. Oh, yeah, that was me, and I was in a rush, and he started explaining all that was going on. You know, and I thought, you know those chance meetings that you have sometimes, and they turn into something wonderful? You know, I thought, we just missed one. You know, I'm not mad at him, but we just missed one. I don't think God's mad at you for the opportunities you've missed, but we've probably missed some, because we're very busy. Our minds are very occupied. You know, but so sometimes those visitations are going to come when it gets quiet at night, silent night. You know, can it be a holy night? Can it be a time for someone holy to come and visit and speak a word that you wouldn't be able to hear in the light of day? You know, so third one, of course, this is the one that we're celebrating, okay? The night the angels announced the holy birth, okay? In Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 14, it says, now, in those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken of all the inhabited earth. This is the first census taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone was on his way to register for the census, each to his own city, the city of her forebears. Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David, in order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him, who was with child. While they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And I know Janine has informed me that that inn would have been no place to give birth to a baby anyway, even on a good day. And keeping in mind, Bethlehem at this point is a very, very tiny little place. And all of the descendants of David, can you imagine this? You have to come to this place. I'm guessing the inn was full up pretty quick. All we need is a golf tournament in Rochester to, you know, get where you can't get a hotel room, you know. And so, I mean, you know, the Caesar just says, everybody go to your city, and so there they are. But up to this point, the story could be a very average one of deep inconvenience. It could be a story of How mad can I get at Caesar without getting into trouble? So many confusing thoughts and things whirling about them. But God chooses to make this quiet night, not so quiet for Mary, but this the dark of night, the baby's born, wrapped in cloths, lying in that little trough. Hopefully had some fresh straw. And God says, you know what? Let's celebrate. And so in the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. What did Jesus say about the guests you invite to the party, right? He says, don't go and get the people that can pay you back. Get the people that can't pay you back. So he says, there's shepherds out there staying in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. See, this is before electric lights. It's so hard for us to grasp this, okay? Because, see, I mean, we're used to lights going on. In fact, I remember the first time being in the pitch dark. There was no moon, no stars, the clouds. And I was Boy Scout camping, and I stepped out of my tent and realized I can see nothing. I thought I put my hand like here. I couldn't see my hand. It was that dark. We don't know what dark is. You know, take a look up at the sky tonight, and you'll see all the city lights reflecting off the clouds and making it so that we don't know what dark is. These people are out in the dark keeping watch over their flocks by night. And what happens? All of a sudden, kaboom, I mean, this huge light appears in front of them. It's an angel. Now, the light was going to be exciting enough. I mean, it's scary enough, but there's an angel of the Lord. You know, and just, you know, all the, you know, cute kind of poetic, you know, pictures of angels of the Lord, forget all that, okay? These are like armed warriors for battle that, you know, that are scary. They're meant to be scary. In fact, you know, one archangel gives a shout, says 10,000 men, just like this, an angel of the Lord. And I'm guessing God didn't send the, you know, I mean, and I'm not picking on custodians, but he didn't send the custodian. He sent the biggest, the brightest, the most important angel to do. This is going to announce the birth of Jesus Christ in this world. So here's this angel of the Lord appears. And the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were terribly frightened. We'd all be getting her. We're crazy. It's true, isn't it? We'd all have our cell phones out wanting to video this, you know. Get it up on Facebook before anybody else gets it up so we can go viral. But that's not the setting. This was a quiet night. The shepherds were figuring the worst they're going to have to deal with is a wolf or something, you know. And all of a sudden, boom. Suddenly a silent night becomes a holy night. And it says that, but the angel said to them, don't be afraid. I'm sorry, this is not a comedy, but I'm picturing the shepherds going, easy for you to say. Don't be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. And now they're looking behind them to see who else is here. All right. For today in the city of David, there has been born to you a Savior. Do you know no Savior has been born before this? No Savior is born after this. This is a solitary moment on a silent night on the backside of the hills of Judah. A bunch of shepherds just out doing their job. And all of a sudden, they find themselves thrust in the midst of a holy night, a time when God was revealing. And it says, for today in the city of David, there has been born to you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. The Messiah is here. The anointed one has arrived. And this will be a sign for you. You will find the baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly, it was quiet up to that point maybe, suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace among men with whom he is pleased. And it says that after that, they said, let's go and see this. You know, I guess Dad would have been mad because they left the sheep on the hills. I don't think they brought the sheep with them to go see this, maybe a few. But they, you know, they make their way over there and they see that it's true. And it says, and they went out and told everybody. And everybody who would listen. A silent night became a holy night. And a holy night became a night when, they became the messengers of this wonderful news. You know, God might have something he wants to tell you that's not for you. How about that? What if What if there was somebody God was really trying to speak to and they couldn't hear? They're just too busy, too consumed, too surrounded with whatever they're going through at the time, and they can't hear. Could God get a holy night with you? Could God get a silent moment with you to hear what he has to say? Because God might have a word for you that's for somebody else. I mean, okay, the shepherds, you know, it was for them too. But mostly, there's a lot more people that they're going to tell than those few shepherds. So these three quiet nights that became holy nights, okay? It's a, you know, I need quiet nights. I do. I need quiet nights to become holy nights. How about you? You know, those times where I can just shut down. I actually do stop talking. You know, if you don't like talkers, I'm sorry, because we just probably won't be friends. So, anyways, I thought somebody was clapping. I said, "Whoa!" That's a he was. Anyways, but you know, we have a lot to do, don't we? You know, we got jobs, you know, we got, you know, things to do with our faith and our families and, you know, and maybe if you're a student in school, you know, you got a lot to do. You know, that's one side of the balance. But if I've learned anything about how the Jewish people, through the revelation of the scriptures, viewed life, you know, they viewed it as this kind of balance, you know. You know, you have hardship, you know, you have blessing. You know, we dwell in between these two. That, you know, there's difficulties that are hard to comprehend. But there are blessings that we don't deserve. You know, that this balance. God wants to balance the anxieties and the conflicts with quietness and peace that we can only find in him. You know, in this world you'll have, what? Tribulation. You're going to have difficulty, okay? But, you know, but don't be afraid. I've overcome the world. You know, and the one who overcame the world is saying, give me that quiet moment. You might have to make a quiet moment for him. So he says mysterious things to us, like, cease from striving and know that I'm God. He said that to people who were in the midst of great trial. Not because there was nothing for them to do, but there comes a point when you realize I've done what I can. And Ephesians tells us when you've done everything you can do, stand. You know, get the armor of God on you. And by the way, that armor is not armor of God just because he gave it to you. It's the armor that Isaiah tells us he wears. And he says, here, have my armor. Wear my armor. And stand. Cease from striving and know that I'm God. Be still. Set your mind on God. You know, it's hard to do in the hubbub of the daily routine. But Psalm 46, 7 through 11 says, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold, Selah. Selah just means take a rest. Think about that. Come, behold the works of the Lord who has wrought desolations in the earth. He makes wars to cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariots with fire. Cease from striving and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold, Selah. So God tells us to cease from striving because we strive. You know, those things where the Bible says, don't do this, and we think, oh man, I'm so bad because I'm doing it. The reason God said don't do it is because you do it. All right, so he's telling you, stop that. All right? So, you know, don't get into a big guilt thing and go spiraling into the dirt. You know, I mean, it's, you know, when you find yourself doing something the Bible says don't do it, but don't forget to get the point, which is don't do it. You know, and so there comes this point where, you know, all of our strivings and things, you know, you start to realize I don't think an hour more of striving is going to contribute that much to the solution here. Perhaps an hour spent quietly with God just to recognize that God is God and he's with me. You know, our hope is found in the quiet times with the Lord. Lamentations 3:21 through 26 says, I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. There's things we need to recall. The Lord's loving kindness indeed never cease. His compassions never fail. They're new every morning. Great is your faithfulness, O Lord. The Lord is my portion. My reward, what I'm hoping to get in life is the Lord, says my soul. Therefore I have hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the person who seeks him. It is good that he waits silently for the salvation of the Lord. Now, there comes that point of trust, of meekness, that says, my trust is not in myself, my trust is not in another, my trust is in the Lord. Then there's this little commentary on the inner workings of a quiet soul. It's in Philippians 4, 6 through 9. Be anxious for nothing. Why does he say that? Because we're anxious about everything. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. You know, that putting those things out before God. You may feel like I'm being made to wait longer than I should, but keep on praying. Keep on petitioning. Keep on giving thanks. All right? Because with thanksgiving, let them be known to God. Job, you know, interesting story, you know, crazy story, scary story. If you're not in the midst of suffering, you read that and think, oh, that can happen to somebody who loves God. Yeah. But it's interesting that the first chapter, it says, in all this, he didn't, sin, you know, by accusing God of wrongdoing. By the way, the whole rest of the book is him accusing God of wrongdoing. Okay. He raises a complaint, you know, well, go back and look at what he suffered. He raises a complaint to the heavens. All right. And let me tell you something. In the end, God has to correct him for some things, doesn't he? But then after that, he turns to Job's comforters, the people who would have seemed to be the heroes of the book, who were defending God, who talked about God but never to God. And he says to them, I'm very angry with you because you haven't spoken what is right concerning me as my servant Job has. Apparently, you know, this whole thing about, raising, you know, these requests and saying, God, you know, I'm in trouble. This is unfair. Help. You know, that God does not object to this. In fact, he encourages it because it draws us to him. You know, sometimes the petitions we're making are the very thing that draws us to him. You know, when we feel self-sufficient, you know, not a whole lot of people on their knees at Disney, you know what I mean? You know, I mean, it's we feel very self-sufficient there. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there's any excellence, if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. The things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. So a silent night, holy night. And if somebody could go tell the kids back in kids' church that I'm going to need them shortly, that'd be good. And in the midst of the challenges that you're facing today, be sure to take some time to balance it all, to wait quietly in his presence, to find a strong place to stand in the Lord, to find the hope and the peace that will keep us in him. You know, I like this one in the King James, but I'll give you the modern translation too. Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Now, the King's English is very, very comfortable to me. I'll give that to you in the modern. The steadfast of mind, you know, the person who sets their mind on the Lord, you'll keep in perfect peace because he trusts in you. You know, God looks to us to put our trust in him. God will keep us in perfect peace. You know, we need some silent nights to become holy nights. Some times that we purposefully set apart in our lives to be able to just say, God, I really desire to have that quiet time with you so that I can hear you. And the children are coming. I'm going to move some poinsettias so they have a place to stand. And
thanks so much for listening to this podcast brought to you every week by Henrietta Christian Fellowship, located at 1085 Middle Road in Rush, New York. If you have a prayer request or a need, we want you to know that we're here for you. Please send us an email at henriettacf@gmail.com. That's henriettacf@gmail.com. Once again, thank you for listening, and God bless.